I'm an addict. My name is Eric P.
Hey, Eric.
And I want to thank the CPRC and A18 host committee for volunteering my services to do this workshop. And I'm going to say volunteering because when I came here this weekend, I had no intentions on speaking on any subject at all. But as God would have it, he always knows better than I know what I need to do at the time that I need to do it. And so those are the times that I have to get out of my way and stop telling me that I can't do something or I don't want to do something, because there may be something that I might be able to deposit in someone else as he has deposited things in me that will enhance or enrich a person's recovery and their life. Again, I want to give I want to thank my higher power, because without him, I would not be clean today. And we're going to talk about our symbol. And, you know, before I even say that, you know, this is one of those workshops at conventions that people don't normally come to, you know. But this is one of those workshops where a lot of information about this program will come out. And if you're open to understanding this program, you're going to go to and receive as much information as you possibly can. One of the biggest pitfalls in this program for me is misinformation, what people might think or what they conceive to be, instead of reading the literature and asking questions. And I say that because early on in my recovery, you know, I came in here with the intent on just being clean, you know, and I lived that out. I came in here and I hit a bottom using, but I didn't understand that there are other bottoms that you're going to go through as a process of staying clean and having to deal with some issues and begin to work on yourself. I'm one of the addicts that I came in here and I had things, and I had materialistic things, and I prided in the things that I had, and I didn't sleep in abandoned cars and deal with all of the issues that a lot of other addicts come here. And I'm not cut above, so I'm not trying to say that that's what my life in recovery has been about. What I'm going to say is that I valued those things more than I valued my higher power's presence in my life and sometimes life itself. As a result of my behaviors, my first 3 years in recovery, I lost everything that I had when I first got here. You know, and they were removed from me by my higher power. That's how, as I said, not by man or woman or anybody else that I kind of say did it. It was my higher power, because he wanted to strip me down to a basic point of me having to know me. And as a result of me getting to know me, I began to learn a little bit about this program. And one of the things that I have to share is that, you know, when I was sharing some of those issues with a friend of mine who's in this program early on, he had about 8 years clean when I first came around. And he looked at me and he said, you know, you're in this program called Narcotics Anonymous, and you're just going through the motions. He said, how can you come into a program and do everything everybody else doing and not know anything about it? And that kind of stuck. After that, I began to go through the process of learning a little bit more about this program, which allowed me to learn a little bit more about me, and my process of recovery began to start. And that's why I'm talking about the symbol today, because, see, a lot of people don't even know what the symbol is. Some people think that the symbol is that circle with NA on the inside with the trademark underneath it. That's not our symbol. Some people think that Narcotics Anonymous symbol is the same thing as our sister program or our father program, however you want to view it, and that's not our symbol. And then there's a lot of people who see the symbol and think that that's what the symbol is, the circle with the diamond inside. In our basic text, in the opening cover, it explains our symbol. And our symbol has a base, which is the circle. But the other part of that symbol is that it's a pyramid, and it rises, and it doesn't have any end to it. It's infinite. And you can go as far in this program as you choose to go, understanding the symbol and understanding you. And as a result, because I've learned those things, my recovery is limitless. I mean, I can go as far as I choose to go in here, because it's a self-help, but I need you all kind of program, you know. And as a result, I learned traditions, and the one that really applies to the symbol for me is our common welfare should come first. My personal recovery depends on NA unity. Now, a guy like me, as I take a look at society and my world around me, I relate a lot of things to symbolism. You know, I attach me to a lot of different symbols and a lot of different things, and I think that's who made me or what makes me. But the truth is, I'm just a person in the midst of all of what's going on. And I go through the processes like everybody else. One of the things that I want to explain to you about the symbol is that we got different principles that apply to each and every part of that symbol. And like I said, it's a pyramid, and the base of the pyramid is a circle, which means it can go as far outward as we take it, but it can go as far high as we take it. And you know, and a lot of people don't know that when you celebrate clean time and you receive that medallion, those words on there is what this program is about. It's not the part that says my gratitude speaks when I share and care with others the NA way. You know, that's just a part of it, and it means a lot, you know, and it enriches my life. But the truth of the matter is that this symbol, as I cover it, it talks about some principles. It talks about some things within that principle. It shows me that for me to stay clean, I got to put God first. And it's on that medallion, you know. And, you know, for me, when I first got clean, I knew who God was in my life, but I really didn't know God, you know. And so I had to go through the process of becoming a better person with my higher power. And becoming better with my higher power, it opened the door a little bit more. It let me know that I can do some things, and I'm going to make some mistakes, but I got a fallback system. And he uses people as my fallback system. So what that allows me to do is it allows me to make mistakes and not beat myself up, not to stop going on in the process, not to stop growing. You know, and I've made a lot of mistakes in my time here. Those first 3 years in this program, and I know I was just being clean. My recovery started after year 3, but those first 3 years in the program, I had a lot of fun. I went to all the dances, all the gatherings, all the events. Some of them were NA and some of them wasn't. And they was using the name of NA to promote themselves. But see, if I don't understand that, then I'm going to get caught in a cycle of doing things habitually wrong. And I might jackpot myself and end up somewhere else that I don't need to be. So, like I said, it's about symbolism. And we view a lot of things we do in this program as a part of this program, and it really isn't. You know, the other part that I have to recognize is that for me to get clean, I got to bring self into that. And that's another part on that medallion. That's another area on that medallion. And I talk about self because I want to see me clean before I want to see you clean. That's just a selfish part of me in this program. You know, if I can't stay clean, you being clean don't really matter. See, so I talk about me because I got to share me with you all to stay clean. I got to share me with you all to talk, you know, to have a sponsor. I got to share me with you all to have a sponsee. I got to share with you all to have a network of people who ain't going to let me go out here and stay in the midst of my mess as a result of the behaviors that I want to exhibit as a process of me not wanting to grow sometimes. You know, I want to stay stuck where I am because it's comfortable. I can become comfortable with doing nothing, or I can become comfortable with doing wrong, or I can choose to become comfortable with growing and doing something different and doing something right. So as a result, my life begins to change once I bring God into it, I bring self into it, and I got two parts of this symbol now to work with. You know, and I got two areas of my life that I got to continuously grow and build on my relationship, because I got to have a relationship with me and I got to have a relationship with God. Now, the next area for me is real important. And, you know, I don't know how many of you all understand this, the importance of this area on this symbol. And that area is service. You know, and the funny thing about service is that when you mention it, people run. You know, I was a service junkie for a long time. In the first 3 years, I was involved in it. And then in the next 9 years, I did a lot of it. Yeah, I guess it's somebody wanting to reach us, you know. You know. But again, you know, we're talking about service. And service is a part of this program where you got 20% of the people doing 80% of the work. And then when you get the people who's doing the 80% get burnt out and they disappear, then people say, well, where everybody at? You know, I talk about service work because a lot of times that's the jarring effect. That's the vehicle. That's the door opening that'll let me stay clean when I'm going through adversity in my life. It's the vehicle that'll keep me coming back when I tell you all I'm tired of being here. It's that thing that'll make me do some step work when nothing else is working in my life and I wanna be who I am. Caught up in the old times of active addiction, just not using. You know, service work is a very important part of this program. And you ain't gonna really get nothing out of anything that you do unless you put something in. You know, and I've done a lot of service work, and I've been burnt out of service work, and now I'm getting back involved in service work because, see, those are the things that I need. And service work allows me to get outside of me to help someone else. You know, I can no longer be so totally self-centered when I'm involved in service, because if I'm involved in service, it's not about me. You know, and as I grow up and I continue to move on, I understand that this is not a self program. This is not an Eric program. This is a Narcotics Anonymous program, and it encompasses a lot of people, and it gives a lot of people hope. You know, the next thing that I want to talk about is society. You know, and it's real important because our literature speaks about society. It talks about becoming socially acceptable is not recovery. But if I do enough things within this program and I become acceptable in society, society views me differently. No longer am I the derelict that stands on the street corner in my neighborhood who's selling drugs and thinking it's okay. No longer am I degrading myself and my family by acting in such a way where they know that's that boy's people's son, and look at what he's doing. You know, one of the things about the ninth tradition it talks about talks about making amends, but one of the amends that I had to make when I first got clean was to my community. I had to stop hanging on street corners. I had to go to meetings and act accordingly. I had to go to my job and do what I was told to do. You know, I had to make amends to society. I had to make amends to my community. I had to make amends to people in the rooms that I wronged while I was using, who may have got here before me. But here's the kicker. I had to make amends to people who I used with and who I wronged in my act of addiction and clean when they got here after I got here. See, I'm really conscious of, because we are a society of men and women who drugs have become a major problem for. See, I understand that now. See, again, it's no longer about me. It's about the people around me. It's about me helping somebody else so that I can still be helped. It's not about me putting information on top of garbage, because when you put some clean food on top of garbage, it becomes garbage. You know, so I'm doing some things around here, and I'm living this program, and I'm learning more about me as a process of me understanding the symbol and following the principles of this program and giving something back, standing for something in this program, because I have to do that when I'm involved in service. And I'm understanding that if it's not about me, it's about those who come behind me so they can still have a place that's safe. You know, because we do some things in meetings and we take over meetings. I got to say me, because I've been a part of all that. We take over meetings and the meetings reflect my personality. And if I'm not careful, I can kill another individual. I'm one of them guys in this program that, and I talked about misinformation. If I tell somebody to do something that is not of my own personal experiences, using or in recovery, and they go do it, and it doesn't work out for them and they use, I got a part in that. I understand that today because, see, I believe in the process that this program takes us through. I understand the principles that I can't teach somebody something that I haven't done myself. You know, so here it is. I'm standing in here clean, and I'm doing some things different, and I'm growing in the process of recovery, and I'm enjoying life. And, you know, I'm becoming all right with me. And I'm building faith in my higher power because my relationship is better. You know, and I'm letting people in society understand that all people who call themselves addicts are not the addicts that are active, who are destroying others in neighborhoods and homes and things of that nature. Now, I got to be careful because I've been in this program for a while. And as a result of some things that I had stopped doing, you know, I wasn't carrying the principles into my house. You know, and not carrying principles of this program into your house, because see, nobody else in my home is an addict. I'm the only one. You know, I got to be real careful trying to take a program into the house that don't apply to them, because it really only apply to me. You know, and those are the people around me who are tied into me, who are attached to me, who can't always understand my behavior. You know, I have not been that far removed from getting high that I forgot what it's like. Now, my highs may have changed. You know, because I'll use anger as a high, you know. And I'll go home and terrorize my home, you know, and nobody will want to be around me. Is that reflective of the principles in this program? Is that reflective of what that symbol means? Am I really, truly being honest about who I am at the given time when life is facing me and I don't want to deal? You know, so I'm talking about God, and I'm talking about self, and I'm talking about service, I'm talking about society. And these are part of that base of this program, part of the base of this symbol. And like I say, it can go as infinitely as far out as it can go up. And, you know, in the parts that really go up, this is the kicker. This is the thing that really, you know, we totally forget about. I mean, we get something in this thing called goodwill. Goodwill. You know, when I think about goodwill, I think about, you know, goodwill towards all men, you know, goodwill towards all people, goodwill towards all everything. And you got to be careful with goodwill, because goodwill can get you in a lot of trouble. For me, it can get me in a lot of trouble. But we get goodwill, you know, and I'm learning in the process that what goodwill is for me. Goodwill for me is that I don't cause harm to anyone else. I don't inflict pain to myself. You know, I'm consciously aware of my surroundings, not only in meetings, because, see, I'll talk it real good in meetings, I'll walk it real good in meetings, but how good am I being to those outside these rooms? Using addicts outside these rooms, look to people like us for hope. Am I sharing that hope with somebody who don't even know they got a chance at this thing? Am I being open? Am I showing a person goodwill? And I'm not saying I'm going to sit out here and supply that addiction. You know, because, you know, some of us, we run into old friends and, you know they're using it. And the first thing they want to do is ask you for a couple of dollars. Am I showing goodwill by giving them a couple of dollars to allow them to extend their behavior? You know, and I'm guilty of it. I've done it in some areas, you know. Those first 3 years in this program, I did a whole lot of tricking. I spent a whole lot of money because I wasn't ready to deal with me. And then I have to face myself and these people who have started to get clean. And now I have to look at me. Was my behavior reflective of the principles of this program? Was my behavior centered in goodwill? Or was I being self-centered in my actions? You know, was I wanting to go get what I wanted for me at the time? You know, I was making it about me personally. You know, I didn't know how to channel my emotions. And the only emotions I knew how to deal with in those first 3 years was anger and frustration. And when I got angry, I wanted my way. And when I got frustrated, I wanted my way. And the end results was not ever good. So now I got to face me. I'm dealing with this thing, this issue, or this topic, or this subject called goodwill. And I got to look at my past. And I have to begin to change my behavior. You know, I can say no to a person that I know, regardless of whatever the circumstances was, and know that if my motives are not right when I'm saying no, or if my motives are not right when I'm saying yes, that I can harm an individual. And the goodwill that's reflective in this program by the principles are not being expounded. It's not expanding itself. It's not reaching those who may never hear the message of recovery. I'm understanding today that every single thing I do is reflective of my lifestyle that I choose to live today. It's also a reflection of what Narcotics Anonymous has offered me, especially when those people get here who don't know I'm in recovery and I'm still acting like I'm out on the street corner and I'm talking slick and I'm hanging out and I got my head turned to the side and, you know what we do. I'm living in image. You know, am I reflective of a positive message when I open my mouth? You know, can I teach my son, my stepchildren some positive information when I'm not reflective of that positive information? Like I said, I was terrorizing my home for a period of time in here, and I had to step back, and I had to be told, and I have to learn to understand that, you know, hold on. The principles of this program and me being clean didn't teach me all that, and I didn't stay clean this long to still be angry or to be mean, or to be rude, or, you know, any other thing. And those things are not reflective of goodwill. You know, I'm not giving anything back, you know, and I limited myself because I only think I have to give back to Narcotics Anonymous and the people in the rooms. You know, that's why Narcotics Anonymous is so large, because if Jimmy Kay and all our predecessors had said we're only going to stay in California, everybody in here might not have gotten a chance. You know, I understand that because he chose to expand it, and he understood that this thing was big, much bigger than him, that I got a chance to stand up here at this podium today and share with you all my understanding. But most of all, I got a chance at being clean and living a life that I didn't foresee more than 15 years ago. I thought I was one of them people who was going to die using. And I had admitted that I was going to die using. I was going to get high till I died. I was going to be an old man sitting in my rocking chair on my porch with a joint of reefer in my mouth saying that life was good, you know. And if that ain't ill thinking, I don't know what it is. But see, I was able to get clean by God's grace. And my views of life changed. And I still want to be sitting on my porch in that rocking chair when I get old. But I don't need to be getting high in the process. I want to be able to reflect back on the good times of my life and share it with grandchildren that I don't even have yet. You know, I want to be able to be a brother to my siblings. I want to continue to be a son to my mother and father. And I want to be a friend to people that I call friends. You know, I want to do all that. And that's goodwill for me. That's goodwill for me because I changed my lifestyle and I gave something to somebody else outside of me. And I didn't ask anybody for anything in the process, you know. And the only thing that I can hope for is that when I'm giving you something, that you choose to take what I've given you and give it to somebody else when they need it. Because at some point in my life, it may have to come back to me. And if I didn't take and give out anything good, how can I get anything good back in my life? Goodwill is a real important thing. Like I said, we read this medallion. We don't even understand the purpose of what it means and what it's saying. And that's one of those signs that when you giving out goodwill, when you depositing goodwill, it can go infinitely high as you take it. You know, and you know, I'm gonna share this. My son, he always teases me about this when we out somewhere. He said, "We can never go anywhere without you knowing somebody." And I think about that today, and I know a lot of people because I've been good to a lot of people, and I've shared a lot of good things with people. And you know, and I'm today a genuinely good guy, you know. And most of the time, my motives are good natured, you know. And so, it's okay to know a lot of people. Now, I didn't say I was friends with everybody I know, but I know a lot of people, you know. And I'm comfortable with knowing people, you know. We used to say the people who need people are the luckiest people in the world. Well, me knowing some people has helped me. It's placed me in positions. It's allowed me to get some jobs. That it's had me walking down the street in just storms and rain. And people will pull over and say, "Man, where you going? Because I know you. Let me give you a ride to where you got to go." Goodwill brings in good things, and you get something as a result of all of what you do and how you choose to do it and how you choose to share it and use it, you know. And then the last thing I'm going to talk about on the symbol is the thing that we all talk about, but a lot of us have not achieved it because we have not done enough of the other things in this program to gain it, and that's freedom. You know, freedom from active addiction is all this program offered us. It's the only thing that was promised to us. Everything you get is a subset of what you choose to do. But if we are truly to be free, if we are to live in the freedom that this program talks about, we have to do the step work. We have to incorporate the traditions. We have to live this good program. You know, freedom is that driving force. If I can be free from all the other stuff because I chose to take a chance to gain freedom from active addiction, can you imagine how good my life is? Can you imagine if I had never used, how good my life would have been? I would have been free from the act of addiction, but I would not have been free from me because I still had the defects of character that I had to learn about. You know, I still was selfish and I'm still arrogant. And, you know, I got a whole lot of that mess. You know, we go to, you know, these recovery clubs and we look at those defects of character and we think that it may be only 27, but this is the subset of those 27. And just like this program be infinite, my defects of character can be infinite if I start living in one. You know, I share about the anger and the frustration, but do you know that when I'm angry, I'm resentful? You know, do you know that when I get angry, I want to harm another person? Do you know when I'm angry, I can be a derelict? Do you know that when I'm angry, I lose control? You know, subsets of, you know, just having one is subsets of a whole lot more. What I'm saying now, if I get free from active addiction, I can learn to be free of the anger. Then I don't have to have the loss of control. I don't have to be as arrogant, self-righteous, self-centered. You know, I can begin to talk about the good things that this program has offered. I can talk about my assets that I'm a loving and caring individual. You know, I can talk about me, you know, saying that I'm willingness, you know, I got some willingness and I want to give something back to the people that I care for. You know, when I talk about the freedom, you know, I don't know about you, but have you ever done something for nothing at all and felt so good? You know, when I came here, I was one of them guys of low self-esteem, but very arrogant. And those are two different extremes. I'm at, you know, over here with arrogance and over here with low self-esteem. You know, and on any given day, the balance was always on the low self-esteem side, or the weight was. You know, and so now as I stay clean, it's starting to balance out. You know, and for a period of time, it went the other way, because as a result of me being clean and knowing some things, I became extremely arrogant. And I had to be told some things, and I had to be whipped into submission about some things as a result of my behavior and me being arrogant. And now I don't even want arrogant and low self-esteem on either end of that pendulum. I want to achieve balance in my life, you know. I want to stay clean, and I want to recover from any and everything that has become an issue in my life. I don't want to stand up here, and because I know something about this program, I don't want to act like I know it all and become spiritually arrogant. You know, just because I've done some step work and I know it don't mean I got to open my mouth and tell you what's good for you, especially if I haven't experienced the goodness for me. You know, the freedom that I'm talking about is to know who I am and be okay with me, to live within my skin and know that I'm okay, to look in the mirror when I wake up in the morning and smile and tell myself, you're doing all right, you're looking good. And be genuine about it and not show any arrogance about it. Because, see, when I'm telling myself I'm looking good and I'm doing all right, I can go outside my house, and when somebody says hello, I can say good morning. And it's reflective of the freedom that I have, because I know who I am today. And I got a relationship with God, with self. I got some relationships with others. I'm involved in something in my life, so my life has meaning, you know. And then I got goodwill because I'm involved with somebody, I'm always willing to show some support and some help and some love towards another individual. And all that leads to the freedom that I want to achieve in my life. So that when I get to a point in my life where I can sit down on that porch in my rocking chair and I can reflect back on it, I can be all right with me. You know, I really love this program called Narcotics Anonymous. And I say this because, have you ever loved anything so much in your life that you wanted to give your life for it, that you would die for it? See, I understand the day that I had a relationship with drugs, and I gave my life to it. I spent a lot of time thinking about planning ways and finding means to get more. Getting high was just a normal part of the process. I needed to have it when I woke up, and I wanted to have it before I fell out. I ain't gonna say go to sleep, before I fell out. Drugs was such an intricate part of my life. You know, people identified me by getting high. Today, people identify me by staying clean. That's great, and it's awesome, and I enjoy it, you know. And now I have symbolism in my life that's reflective of a good life, you know, and I truly enjoy it. That's about as much as I can share on NA symbol, our symbol. You know, I'm going to thank CPRCNA again for inviting me and volunteering my services to do this. And I'm going to keep coming back. Thank you.
Darlene, I'm an addict. And I'd like to introduce our second speaker. And I would like to thank Eric for sharing. And our second speaker is Scott G.
My name is Scott, and I'm an addict.
Hi, Scott.
From Northern Virginia. And like Eric, right, I came to this convention just to, you know, get some recovery. And I was actually in another meeting, and somebody walked up to me and said, hey, I need you in the symbol, and grabbed me and brought me over here, right? So I'm going to do my best, right, to try and give you a little experience, strength, and hope. Eric hit on about everything that I was going to hit on, so it isn't going to be easy. But I remember when I first came into the program, there was a gentleman who was my grand sponsor, Greg P. And I know he's done, in fact, I've got 3 or 4 tapes of his on the symbol. And he did, I think he did the symbol workshop at the second C&P convention. And it was probably one of the most powerful tapes I've ever, you know, I own. What he talks about a little bit, right, is this being a universal program. Mm-hmm. you know, and that we're all square pegs fitting in a round hole, you know, and that's what I needed to hear. Because when I got here, you know, I thought I was unique. I thought I was different. You know, I think we all had that feeling, you know, that nobody understands us, you know. You know, so that made me feel like I was part of this thing, you know. And he talked about, you know, there only being a couple of thousand meetings in the world, you know, at the time. And now, you know, I don't know how many there are, probably 60 or 70,000 meetings, you know. So this thing's growing leaps and bounds. You know, what we're doing is we're writing our literature in different languages, right, so we can get that message out. You know, and I've got firsthand experience at that. I remember going to I went to the San Diego convention back in 1990, and we went down to Tijuana, and they were getting ready to have their first convention, and I went to the first meeting, you know, that the planning committee, right, of that first convention that they were going to have, and then we went and we walked some of the streets, you know, just went shopping, and people were running up to us, you know, and hugging us, because I was with a gentleman, right, who... he was a retired Marine, and he went to 200 churches in Tijuana and asked them if he could have a meeting there, and they said yes. And so the book got out in Spanish that year, and Tijuana went from having two meetings a week to 200 meetings a week. You know, so this thing works. You know, all we need to have is a little bit of literature, right, in the different languages, right, and they get the message. You know, because it's hard to interpret it, you know, and a lot of people have done a lot of work, you know, trying to write, you know, our books in different languages, you know, and they've used it, you know, just stuff that they wrote by hand, right, in meetings before, right, but once it seems like we've got it in print, you know, it just grows so quick. It's awesome to see that, you know, see that working. The goodwill. Has everybody here been good today? Everybody been good? Did anybody get any cash money for being good today? Anybody get paid any money for being good today? Anybody?
No.
No? Do you know what that means? We're all good for nothing. We're all good for nothing. And, you know, that's a spiritual principle of reciprocity or goodwill. You know, being good for nothing. Doing something right and expecting nothing in return. You know, and I implore you to do that at least once today. If you can do it 3 or 4 or 5 times today, right, it's even more awesome, right? You know, pick up a little garbage, you know. You know, don't throw that trash out the window. Stick it in your pocket. Somebody talked about that, you know, at the meeting last night, you know. And I like when a spiritual principles, when those principles are talked about, right, and we can, you know, kind of, you know, grow on them a little bit, you know, because that means it's really working, you know, in our lives. But for me, right, what I really love is getting with a newcomer, right? Because what's the first thing in our book is the symbol. And I tell them to read it like 10 times. Because every time you read something, right, a little bit more sticks in there, right? And if you read it about 10 times, you're going to get about 10% of what it says, you know, and then we go over it, you know. And I like, you know, I like going God, self, society, and service. I like it that way, you know, and I do 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, if you look at the steps, you know. You don't have to do it that way, you know. In fact, well, I love what Jimmy Kennan says. You know, this program is customized, right? We customize it to our own understanding. You know, that's why it's a universal program. You know, it can be whatever you make of it, you know. And what you try to do is share that with the NICS people, you know. Another thing I really love is when we say, let's have a moment of silence for the still suffering addicts in and out of these rooms, right, at the end of the meeting, right? And we pray for the newcomers, you know, and then the old timers. And what I tell people, right, is see, we were praying for you before you got here, you know. And I'm going to keep praying, right, for those newcomers, right, for the people that aren't here yet, because, you know, we need them. Make this program bigger, you know. But for me, the first three steps get me right with God. Mm-hmm. They show me how I feel, right? God allows me to have feelings, right? and it gives me the ability to handle them. You know, saying he's never not going to give you more than you can handle, right? I don't know sometimes. It hurts a lot, right? But, you know, I get through it, and then I get a little bit of experience, and I'm able to pass that on, you know. You know, I got stuck there for a minute. You know, those memory bubbles sometimes pop, and it's like, where did they go? But it happens. But with yourself, you know, 4, 5, 6, and even 7, you know, for me. And they say the first 3 steps will get you right with God. 4, 5, 6, and 7 will get you right with you. 8 and 9 will get you right with others. 10, 11, and 12 will keep you right with yourself, your God, and with others. That's the simplest I've heard this program, you know. Heard that a long time ago, and I don't know where that came from, right? But you know, you kind of just remember those things, right, that you like. And it becomes part of you, right? It's, you know, working on you, right? You know, it's not easy, you know, and you need to get a sponsor. You need to find somebody who can help you, guide you through the, you know, the steps. And, you know, I tried it alone for a little while, you know. I think we all tried that, you know. Well, I can do this. I'll just grab the book and read it, and I'll understand it, you know. It didn't work for me, you know. I found a few people that could help. And, you know, I remember I had to start writing, you know. It's like, man, you know, I don't want to write. You know, I just want to tell you about it. And they say, you know, if you put it on paper, it's no longer in your head. You know, and that makes room for more new information, and we're in serious need of new information, you know. And I wrote a lot, you know, and then I looked at it with somebody else, and they told me I had a whole lot of problems, a lot of garbage, you know. And for me, you know, they just showed me what my garbage was, and they shared some of their garbage with me. You know, but then I had to get back with God. Say, God, will you help me take out the garbage? You know, in 6 and 7, right? It wasn't so much, you know, all of a sudden my character defects and my shortcomings were going to be gone. You know, I had to get back with God, right, and ask him to help me with them. You know, and it seemed to work. You know, I'm saying that they're not still there. But you know what? They don't creep up as often. You know, and for me, right, if I get rid of one, all of a sudden there's another one waiting to come on in, you know, and say hello. You know, get rid of my lust issues, right, and all of a sudden it's gluttony. And I ain't got rid of that one yet. It's going to take a lot longer, you know. We're working on that one now. At service, our society, I should say, you know. I remember in the basic text when he used to say, you know, we became a productive member of our society. I think in the 3rd edition, right, before it became newly revised, it said our society. I think what they were talking about was the fellowship. And we're going to become a productive member of our society, right? We need to get involved with NA. You know, and for me, that was a big thing, you know. I remember becoming a coffee maker, and I didn't drink coffee. And it pissed me off going, having to go there every day, you know, or every week, and having to make the coffee for these people, and they bitched at you anyway because it, you know, wasn't right for some person, either too strong or too weak, you know, or something, you know. But I made it anyway, you know, because it gave me a commitment, and I showed up many a time, right, when, damn it, you know, I was going to go back out, but you know, I had to be there for those people, and it wasn't about me, it was about those damn people. You know, and then it became about us, you know, and I became part of the we, you know. And I feel very fortunate because I got to, we were writing our literature when I came in, you know, It Works How and Why, and I got to be part of that, you know. It's awesome when I can sit in a meeting and they're reading out of that book, you know. I can think to myself, I helped write this, you know. I got up a little bit, another meeting yesterday, right, and in the 10th step, if you read in the 10th step, right, it talks about the living the program pamphlet. And I was in a workshop in Baltimore, and we were writing part of that part of the book, and they called it the 10 step pamphlet. I said, no, that's not right. And I think I was a literature vice chair in Nirvana at the time. I said, it's the living the program pamphlet. And somebody said, oh yes, and we should italicize it because it's got another part of the NA literature, you know. And so somebody said, italicize it. So we italicized it, you know, made it a little different. And then we went on down, and that person had one day. He had gone back out Friday, the day before, and but was in there helping with one day clean. And so if you look at the 10th step, you're going down and two sentences later, it says, but all we have is today. Mm-hmm. That's italicized for him, because all he had was today. You know? So if you don't think that, you know, you make a difference, right? A guy with one day clean made a little bit of a difference. You know, he's in the book. And, but we do remain anonymous. You know, in the society, and in service. You know, for me, and that's been, you know, my joy, right, was doing service. I don't know if anybody has an NA Rocks t-shirt, but there's a few of us that have done a lot of service work. We kept the service office open, you know, for quite a few years, right, by doing some merchandising. And we were in Chicago in 1988. We went to Chicago. In fact, that's where we did the final draft of It Works How and Why, or the semi-final draft. I guess they did a California draft, and it got published. But we were all at Rosary College, and it was really hot. I remember that. We all went out and bought ceiling fans, or not ceiling fans, but fans, you know, and then we donated them to the Chicago service office. Well, I had a van, so I got to take all these fans that we had donated to the Chicago service office. And, I mean, there were like 50 or 60 of them. Some people took them home, but we bought all these fans to keep us cool while we were writing this book. And anyway, we took all these fans to the office, and while we were there, we were talking about, you know, merchandising, and the manager was saying, well, no, that's, you know, not really the way we do it. I said, well, you know, I looked and I saw all these tapes. They must have had like 2,000 or 3,000, you know, tapes of conventions, right, and even the ones that the World Service Office sells, you know, and just way too many tapes, you know. And there must have been, you know, probably $10,000 or $20,000 in inventory in the tapes. And I said, well, you know, really need to, you know, send these things back, or, you know, put them on sale, get rid of them some way, you know, sell them so you can make some money. You know, I said, because their office was getting ready to close. And anyway, I remember we looked at the door of the service office. It was painted blue, like the basic text, you know. And I don't remember whose mouth it came out of, but somebody said, oh, look, a basic door. And he said, basic t-shirt. Basic coffee mug, basic tote, basic beach towel, basic whatever. And what was amazing is the next year, right, I ran into them in Orlando, Florida. Right, and I think they sold enough merchandise to keep their office open. Right, and it was just really cool to see that, you know, I hate to say it, but merchandising works in Narcotics Anonymous. And I was part of that, you know. Anthony, who works at the World Service Office, right, you know, he's consulted me a few times on how to do certain things, you know, because I'm good at selling things. You know, I was a good dope fiend. I was a good dope dealer, you know. I knew how to sell stuff. And I guess I just took that knowledge, right, and brought it into the fellowship, right? And because we can't change the behavior. What we can do is change, you know, what we sell. And it seemed to work very, very well. So we all have hidden talents, right? And for me, if we don't tap into those talents, right, and, you know, and get them out there, you know, they're kind of lost. And for me, that's the freedom. You know, said the broader the base, the higher the point of freedom. The more that I do, you know, work on myself, you know, work on, you know, with society, right, service and God, right, the more that I incorporate all that into my life, right, the more freedom I'm going to have. And, you know, the freedom that I experience today is a lot different than when I came in here. You know, what I wanted back then was freedom from the disease, mm-hmm. freedom from addiction, you know. And today, right, it's more about living life, you know, and just, you know. And my biggest problem is I'm always and this is probably my biggest character defect today. I've always got too many things planned, you know, and I don't keep a day timer like most people do. You know, I try to keep it up here. And I do have a calendar at work that I write certain things on. You know, on occasion, right, I've got two conventions I'm supposed to be at, or I've got, you know, I take care of my dad, you know, every 2 weeks. I go down and last week, right, I went there 2 weeks ago, and I was supposed to be there this week, right, but I ended up having to, you know, juggle a weekend, you know, and be there on Easter for him. It actually all worked out okay, but, you know, it's amazing all the different things you do, life is good, and I want to thank the committee again for allowing me to come up here, and I appreciate all you guys sticking around. Thanks for allowing me to share.
Thanks for sharing. Thank you, Scott. We have 10 minutes if anyone would like to come up and share a symbol or... Sure.
My name is Martin. I'm a Griffith Covenant addict.
Hey, Martin.
First and foremost, I'd like to thank God, my understanding, for allowing me to be here today. And I'd also like to thank God, my understanding, for allowing me to be teachable today. And when I heard the topic, I felt I had to be here because of, first I'd like to thank the, two speakers that spoke before me for sharing. And when I heard the topic today, you know, I knew this was the place for me to be, you know, despite my attention span, and I hope you guys have noticed that my attention span is not as long as it used to be. But the symbol, I don't know, the symbol does something for me, man. There's something in that symbol, you know, that I continue to come and I continue to find out the meaning of that symbol, because as the speaker said before me, the symbol is it's like an infinite symbol, you know, and I remember I associated the symbol with a third step, you know, because I used to think that in the third step we surfed on that symbol, you know. It reminded me of a character, comic book character, the Silver Surfer, and you know, I used to like literally just feel like I was just in space, you know, in this universal realm of this program, and surfing on that symbol, on the concepts, and as you said, the principles of the symbol. And the symbols are, you know, there is principles to that symbol, and those goodwill is a principle, you know. And what the other gentleman was talking about, you know, that square peg, you know, and it is limitless, but I think. But I believe that the traditions, you know, because I don't think you can talk about these principles without the traditions. Because I think the traditions, will actually harness us from branching out, from taking this body to other areas, you know, that's against what we're talking about, you know, And with the principle, that's what the traditions, I think, do. They harness this power, you know, and this power that's basically made of collectively of a higher power, of our higher powers, you know, the essence of our higher powers. And that infiniteness of that symbol, man, can take us within the parameters to heights, you know, that I can't even imagine, you know. Because, you know, because our higher powers is limitless. And when I'm saying take us, you know, I'm not talking about tripping, but I'm talking about understanding of ourselves, you know. Because to understand ourselves is to understand our higher power, you know. And when we become one with that higher power, you know. So, you know, and, you know, I've been hearing this word a lot, gatekeepers, you know. And I truly believe that... people come in your life to show you something, to unlock some boundaries or some to give us some breakthroughs. And I think when we get in tone with that, with our higher power in three, you know, from the infiniteness of this symbol, we're able to open doors for people. And that's the service. We're able to open doors, you know, even if it's the butcher or the baker or the addict still on the street, we open doors and for freedom, you know. It's a freedom, freedom. Thanks for letting me share.
Thanks for sharing.
My name is Tiana. I'm an addict.
Hi, Tiana.
Hi, and I just want to add a P.S. here. Our symbol has been so important to me because the outer circle denotes a total and universal program where that has room in it for all manifestations of the recovering person. That told me that there was room here for me. Mm-hmm. That told me that a little hippie girl could fit. You know what I mean? Like, because I grew up, my father sat down with me one time. He sat down with me a few times, but he really wanted to understand what made you an addict, Tiana. I'm the addict in the family. I'm the dysfunction in the family. Okay? I'm the case that they talked about that my parents tried to save. And I talked about feeling different all my life. When I was a little girl, I felt like I didn't belong anywhere. I mean, I used to walk ahead of my family or behind my family. We took family trips on the train. I sat in another train seat as if I could pretend that wasn't really my family. I lived in a fantasy world, you know. I read Harriet the Spy, so then I walked in the house and pretended I was a spy and spying on my mother, and I had my little notebook, and I'd say, baking cake in oven, 5 p.m. Like, you know, like I was a shadow in their world. I didn't really have a sense of me, of self. And I sat down with my father, and I tried to explain this, which is really hard to put into words to someone who cares about you and is not an addict, although he believes he passed along a predisposition for addiction to me. His father died from cirrhosis of the liver, from alcoholism. And he said, you're talking about alienation. And that's why it was so important to me that step one said, we have to take this step to overcome the alienation of addiction. So our symbol gave me the power, funded by a higher power, to believe that there is a place where I fit, that there's a place where the misfit can fit. And I've come to NA, the place where misfits fit, and still felt alienation. But I always have our literature to return to, even when I don't feel a part of the fellowship where I'm sitting at that time. And our symbol tells me that it's okay for someone who walked around Greenmount Avenue with cracked glasses and a little Guatemalan backpack and thought the police wouldn't recognize her when she was in an alley with 500 dope fiends to fit here somewhere. It told me that you would leave the doors open and you would not say, no, you can't come in because you don't meet our requirements. And that is the beauty of it for me. Yes, the, you know, broader the base, the higher the pinnacle of freedom, and everything that everyone said, and people talked about our symbol and broke it down into how I live the principles. But I just wanted to convey that vision that it was hard for me to find a place where I fit. And I found it here. I thank you for it. Thanks.
Thanks for sharing. Okay. I'd like to thank everyone who shared. And we can close the meeting with a moment of silence and the serenity prayer, please.